Pray that you can speak to each and every one of us as we quiet ourselves before you. We want to see your glory, and we want to hear what you have to say to each and every one of us, so that we're going to walk in it, and so we're going to get the blessing that you have in store for us. And I pray that you help your servant to speak clearly to your children, and help us to remember what we have learned today and put what we learn into practice, and help us not just be the hearer of your word and also be an obedient child, and so that we will be filled with your Holy Spirit, so that we will get all the blessing that you have for us. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So I want to take a look at verse 5, Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Romans chapter 1 verse 5 is the key for us to understand the entire book of Romans. Through him is through Jesus Christ. For his name's sake, for the sake of Jesus Christ, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Nowadays, a lot of people, when they go to the church to hear the sermon, they thought just putting our faith in Jesus Christ without doing anything, and you'll be all right. That's not true. That's not what Jesus Christ said. And Paul said it very clearly in here. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Obedience is come from faith. In other words, if you don't hear the word of God, you don't know how to put your faith in Jesus, nor do you how to obey Jesus. I tell you what we have to obey. I want to write it down. So right beside obedience, that comes from faith. You write down 1:17. And you also write down 8:29-30. It's all in the book of Romans. We don't just have faith in Jesus Christ, and then you don't have to do anything. No, that's not what the Bible says. Faith in Jesus, and then you obey what you hear. Could you raise your hand to see? I want to see anyone who take the piano lesson? Anyone has ever take a piano lesson? Would you please raise your hand? How can you learn piano? You just go to a piano teacher and hear what he or she has to play, and then you just hear about that. When you go home, you don't practice. Do you have to practice? Hannah, do you have to practice? Do you? You don't practice. Now I want the one that will play really well. Could you please raise your hand? Gabriel, do you play really well? You don't play well. Oh, come on. Anyone that paid to learn the lesson, you don't just hear about that. When you just hear about that, you don't learn that much. When you hear about that, and then you go home and put it into practice, and that belongs to you. You understand? Same as we don't just come to the church, do a Bible study, learn about His Word, and just to be the hearer of His Word without doing it. You are deceiving yourself. So I want you to write it down right beside 1:5. You write 117. You write 8, 29 to 30. And you write down James, chapter 1, 19 to 26. You know, a lot of people, you know, they read the book of Romans. They only understand partially what Paul has to say. And they don't quite understand what Paul is trying to say. And he say, the book of James is not part of the Bible. That is what Martin Luther is saying. He's wrong. Okay? First of all, I want to read it to you in James chapter 1, verse 19 to 26. Carl, could you read that? Chapter 1, verse 19. To 25 instead of 26, okay? 19 to 25.
Listening and doing. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the words planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed.
So, we come to the church, we study the Bible. We don't just want to be a hearer of His word. We want to learn from it. We want to put it into practice. Once you put it into practice, you will never forget what God has said to you. Why? Because by doing so, you get blessed. He appeared to you. God is invisible, but if you do what He said, He appeared to you. He blessed you. He will do the impossible, that beyond your imagination. And the God that we believe is a great God. The only way you will be able to see Him is being a doer of His word. Take a look at what John is saying. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 21. If you hear His word, and then you put it into practice, that means you love Him. You love Him, Jesus said, I love you too. Not only I love you, my Father in heaven loves you too. On top of that, Jesus will appear to you, and He will bless you, encourage you, and comfort you. So you have to honor God by obeying His word. Could you read that? 14:21. Come.
Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him.
So the reason why we study the book of Romans is to understand His will and to do His will. Know what He requires of us to do. In Romans chapter 1 verse 5, through Jesus Christ and for His name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith Now, go to chapter 1, verse 17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I want you to do some homework, okay? And I want you to read the Old Testament, the entire chapter of Habakkuk in chapter 2. Paul quoted Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, but I want you to read the entire book. It's only three chapters, okay? I want you to read that. Could you do me a favor and read it and explain to me what does it mean by the righteous shall live by faith? I want you to understand this word, because a lot of Christians, they don't understand. Sinner believe in Jesus, believe in Jesus Christ, and he becomes a righteous person. And then a righteous person keep on believing Jesus, and he will be saved. I want you to read the entire book of Habakkuk, and then answer me the question. The prophet Habakkuk is very displeased with what God has done to his own people. He's not happy about that. He argued with God. I want to ask you this question. What if the prophet refused to repent, refused to believe in God's action? I want to know, what is his outcome? Can he go to heaven? Or he go to hell? So Habakkuk is a prophet, right? Right? He's a servant of God. He's used by God to preach to the Gentile. Okay? What if he refused to obey God's will? Can he be saved? I want you to think about that answer. You know what? Because Paul understands the answer. That's why he write down chapter 1 verse 17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. The righteous will live by faith. What if he refused to obey Jesus? What if he refused to obey God's word? I want to know, what is the outcome? And by thinking about that, by reading that entire book, you will know. You are now Christian now. There's certain things the Lord wants you to do. You may not like to do it. You will want. You will struggle with that, right? What if you fight against God and you refuse to do it? I want to know, what is your outcome? The Bible says, the righteous will live by faith. And eventually, the prophet Habakkuk obeyed God's word. Submit to God. The entire Bible tells us not only have faith in God's word, also obey God's word. That's what the entire Bible taught us. Can someone read the book, Job? Chapter 22, verse 21. What did Job say? Submit to God, and you will be prosperous. You will have peace, and you will get blessed. If you do not submit to Him, you do your own thing, you will be in deep trouble. Job is before Psalm. Psalm in the middle of the Bible. Job 22, verse 21. Could you read that?
Submit to God and be at peace with Him. In this way, prosperity will come to you.
The reason why God wants us to submit to Him, He wants us to be prosperous and successful. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have blessing. The moment we fight back, we'll be the loser. That's what the entire Bible tells us. From first to last. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you learn to have faith in God, and then you submit to His teaching and obey Him. Because from time to time we do something that's against God, right? When someone tells you, well, what you have done is no good, then what should you do? You fight back or you submit? Then determine your future. Do I make myself clear? Now, David, where's David? Oh, David is here. Where's your friend? He's scared, eh?
Yeah. Mama, who is mommy?
He's not what?
He's not scared.
Mom
took him somewhere else.
Mommy, please
go somewhere.
Take him to somewhere else?
No.
What's the reason? Because you believe in Jesus?
Not.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, I want to talk to you. Last week, you have faith in Jesus, right? Could you read that to me? Chapter 1, verse 17. Roman? Do you want to have God righteousness in you? Because we are all sinners, right? If we are all sinners, we will be in deep trouble when we go to see Jesus. Because He's going to judge us according to His word. But His word tells us clearly through Paul, saying that the righteousness from God for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. You take the first step last week. What have you done? You have obeyed 10:9-10. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. What do you confess? You confess that you are a sinner. You confess that Jesus is Lord. And what did you believe? You believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And He was raised from the dead. And that is what you believe. By doing so, God said, you have God righteousness. You'll be saved. And that is the first step. Because the Bible says, He will keep on giving you God righteousness. Because the righteousness is from first to last. You've done the first step, same as you can't tell me, oh, I enter kindergarten. I don't need to go to grade one. Oh, come on, whatever you say, you know? You finish grade one, you go to grade two. Finish grade two, you go to grade three, right? You finish high school, then you go to what? University, right? Isn't it? I tell you, what's the next step? Let me ask you a question first. Do you want to have the ability to understand what you hear? Okay? For me to be born in a Cantonese-speaking family is by nature, I learned Cantonese. If I was brought up in a Mandarin-speaking environment, I would be able to learn Mandarin. But if my parents make the decision to apply for immigration to India, you know what? And I will learn the language. I don't care how hard it is. I will learn it because I'm in that environment. Right? Now, do you want to be in that environment in such a way that you'll be able to understand what you hear so that you won't waste your time? And the first step for you to understand is you have to take a look at the Luke chapter 7, verse 29 to 30. Right after you put your faith in Jesus, that's the next step you have to do. That's not the final step. I say this is the next step. What is the next step? You have to take a look about two group of people. One are sinner that will turn to God. Right after he turned to God, they're willing to be baptized. Once they baptize, all of a sudden, they be able to understand God's word. And what about those Pharisees and the teacher of the law? They refuse to be baptized. They keep on listening God's word, but they have no idea what Jesus is trying to say. They don't obey. They don't understand. Could you read that? Luke chapter 7, verse 29 to 30.
All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves, because they had not been baptized by John.
So you see the importance of baptism then, right? So that's the next step I'm asking you to do. The next step, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to be baptized into him. Okay? I want you to write down, right beside Luke, chapter 7, verse 29 to 30. You write down Matthew, chapter 28. 19 to 20. What did Jesus say to us? If we claim to be Christian, if we claim to believe in Jesus, should we believe in his word? That's the question I'm asking. If I say to myself that I believe in Jesus, but I don't obey his word, I'm not believing in Jesus. Because obedience comes from faith, right? Faith comes from hearing his word. I hear his word, I know once I believe in Jesus Christ, my next step is to be baptized. Because I know that if I refuse to be baptized, I can keep on hearing the word of God. I have no clue of what he's trying to say to me. I won't understand. I need to be baptized. By baptizing into Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, I will be able to understand his word. That's the criteria. Could you read that? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20.
Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
So baptism into Jesus is his command. Right? If I want to be his follower, if I want to be Jesus' disciple, I need to be baptized into him. I just mentioned in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 29 to 30, the benefit of being baptized and the disadvantage of being not going through the baptism. If I don't go through baptism, I would just like the hypocrite, so like the Pharisee, like the teacher of the law. Although they teach other people, they don't understand what they are teaching. Whereas the sinner, that who has been baptized, all of a sudden they understand God's word. It got nothing to do whether you go through university, whether you're educated or not. The Bible, you need to be born again in order to understand his word. No other way. I want you to read Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Take a look at the meaning of baptism. Why do I need to be baptized? Hey, Donald, is she your friend? Girlfriend? Is it your girlfriend?
I knew you were going to ask that.
No, I mean, that's why I'm meaning that. That's good that you're here, you know? I'm just asking you in front of everybody.
No.
No? That's a friend, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you a Christian?
No.
No? Okay. Could you do me a favor, read that? Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4.
Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too live in the light.
So what are you trying to say? I want you to write it down right beside Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. You write down Gospel of John, chapter 3, 3 to 5. Or if you want, you can write 3 to 6. Doesn't matter. That tells us the meaning of baptism. What's the reason why we Christians needed to be baptized? Because we are sinners and believe in Jesus Christ by faith. And our being, our old self is still alive. Sometimes we all disobey God, right? The old man has to be crucified, die with Jesus. Otherwise, we cannot obey Jesus. Do you remember what 1:5 is saying? Obedience does come from faith. Paul saying that I'm an apostle to the Gentile. God called him to be an apostle so as to call people from all over the world to have faith in Jesus and to obey Jesus. How can I obey Jesus if I'm not willing to die? No way I will be able to obey Jesus. Okay? That's why we have to be baptized. Once you baptize, then gradually you understand his word according to Luke chapter 7, verse 29 to 30, and gradually you know the consequences of not obeying him. You get disciplined, when you suffer, all of a sudden you learn. Now this is the right way. Okay, I'm going to follow you. Do you know did any one of you have dog? Do you know a dog trainer? Do you know how a dog trainer trains a dog? Two things. Discipline that dog. And then give him good thing to eat when he obey. And that's how he learned. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know how your daddy mommy discipline you? Okay? Well, we all have that experience, you know what I mean? Okay? It's for your own good, you know? Let me tell you one thing. Listen to me carefully. When you go to school, you don't put up your feet on the table or on the chair. You know what happened now? I heard that a few months ago in Edmonton Transit. They have a regulation. They have inspected to get into the Edmonton Transit. If they find out any student put their feet up on the chair, and fine him $150. You don't learn that at home, nor do you learn it at school. You're going to learn it in Edmonton Transit. You understand? We better learn it well. You know, I've seen that, you know, with my eyes. When they go to university, especially in the auditorium, you know. And you sit at the back, lie down, put your feet up. I guarantee you, the professor going to make sure he knows your name. He's going to phone you. You don't dishonor him by putting up your feet. If you want to get good smart, I show you how to do it. Sit at the front row. Okay? You get blessing. I hardly see anyone who can get A+ sitting at the back. No way. They don't get it. Jean, where are you going to sit when you go to university? Front row. You'll be good. Okay? Now, take a look at Gospel of John, chapter 3. Gabriel, could you read that? Chapter 3, verse 3 to 6.
In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again."
Okay, now the question is, do you want to see the kingdom of God? I say yes. You have to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus doesn't understand what Jesus is trying to say. How can I be born again? I'm an old man already. My mother has passed away already. Am I going to enter my mother's womb and come out again? That's what he's asking. Chapter 3, verse 4. Could you read that?
How can a man be born when he is old and he has? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit."
So no one, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth." Don't let anyone deceive you. You say, "Oh, I believe in Jesus Christ, I will be saved." No. You believe in Jesus Christ, you obey his command. Because his command is saying to you in chapter 3, verse 5. "Truly, truly, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God, nor can he see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." How can I, old man, be born again? How can I be born again? Not born through my mother womb. Born through water. Water means water baptism. And through the Spirit. The moment when you believe in Jesus Christ, when the moment you confess that you are a sinner, the moment you open your heart and ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart, you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. If it is not the Holy Spirit moving you, you won't say, "Jesus is my Lord." You won't open your heart. You say, "I don't know. I wait." Or you say, "I won't do it." But when you are moved by the Holy Spirit, you say, "Okay, I do it. And I do it now." So that means by confessing with your mouth and believe in your heart, and I know that you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but you haven't been baptized with water. Am I right? When you are baptized with water, you're going to die with Jesus. Have anyone seen people being
baptized, they submerge in the water, and then disappear, and then come up, right? So that means they are baptized into Jesus' death, to die with Jesus, to bury with Jesus, and to be raised with Jesus. When you come out with the water, come out from the water, you become a new man. The old has passed, the new has come. And you just like a newborn baby. Oh, wow. So good. So good. Unbelievable good. You know? And all of a sudden, I still remember when I was in the delivery room, I see the two of my daughter come out, and you know what the medical doctor do? And grab their hand and spank the button. She cried. Wow, that means she's alive. I can cut off the belly button, not belly button.
The cord.
The cord. Cut off the belly button. So, and once I was baptized into Jesus' death and buried with Jesus, the old man who's disobeyed Jesus is dead already. And as a newborn baby, is an obedient child. And then we learn God's word, and then we start fresh. And just like what Romans chapter 6 verse 4, when we come up from the water, we just like a new man, a resurrected body. And ever since then, we're willing to live for Jesus. And he could continue to bless us until we see him face to face. The first step is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That's step number one. In order to be saved, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. What do you confess? Confess that you are a sinner and confess that Jesus is my Lord, my Savior. And then believe in what? Believe that God raised him from the dead. How God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, in the same way God will raise you from the dead. And you believe in that. And then the next step, you go through that. That is Romans 6, 3 and 4. If people say that I have faith in Jesus, then you do the first step. If you say that you are an obedient child, that obedience comes from faith, you do the next step, baptism. And after you do the baptism, what do you do? Go to the book of Rome, go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Right after you baptize into Jesus, you start reading the scripture, attending Bible study classes, and attend worship, and learn God's word, so that you be fed with spiritual milk, fed with the word of God, so that you growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You won't be ignorant. You start knowing who God is, who Jesus is, and what has he done for you, and then you say, wow, he's so kind to me, so good to me. I want to start serving God. So, could you read that? Chapter 2, verse 37, all the way to 47. 37 to 47. Joshua, could you read that?
When the people heard this, they were touched with the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.
So in other words, that promise, what promise? Promise of being forgiven of our sins,
the promise of receiving the Holy Spirit, this kind of promise is not only given to the Jewish people, but also given to you and I, the Gentile. Because we are also the one God called. God called us to obey Him. Verse 40.
With many others He warned them, and He pleaded
with many other words.
With many other words He warned them, and He pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation.
What does it mean by save yourself from this corrupt generation? Because this corrupt generation disobeyed God. Save yourself not to disobey Him. He tells you to be baptized, you baptize. But then you may say to me, wow, my daddy don't like it, right? You don't have to let me know about that.
Now, let me tell you something. Can you imagine you see a handsome young man that you love so much? You know that your daddy is going to object that? Are you going to tell your daddy? You're going to go ahead to know him anyway. Right? Yes or no? Honestly. Yes or no?
I tell you one thing. If Jesus is so good, you go for it. Once you get the blessing, and then you go home and pray for your daddy and mommy so that they come to know Jesus. That's exactly what I do. I come to know Jesus first, and then I go home and share the gospel to my mother, and then my father, and then my brother, and then they all come to my Christ. Stop with one question. That is you. Because I want to pay them back. They raised me up. They suffer so much. I don't want to see them going to hell. If I can go to heaven, I want them to go to heaven too. But I want God to bless me first so that my parents know that the blessing that I receive is from God so that He come to know the saving knowledge of our Lord God Almighty. You got that? So you done the first step by confession. Are you willing to do the next step this Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock? I baptize you, and your life will be changed. You don't have to tell anybody. Just like we go to swimming pool, YMCA. In YMCA. Have you ever heard the song YMCA? Right? You don't sing it? No, I'm not singing. Okay? You want to go to the next step? It will be very exciting. Actually, what you have to do, where you have to wear, like, you want to like this? You can do that. You don't need to wear a bikini. No. That's why that is okay. Okay? And that's that. And no turning back. You know what? I say to the one who lead me to Christ, I say, what if you say to me, Jesus Christ so good? What if I find out that He's no good? Can I walk away from that faith? He say, yeah. But if you don't even try and know that He's so good, you will regret for the rest of your life. I give a bad shot. And try. You know what? If someone's selling you a product and he charge you and he say to you, you don't like it, bring back the receipt, 100% refund, including shipping. And do you have to worry about not buying it? You can use as long as you like. 10 years later, bring back. I give you food, it'll be fun. And you say, I don't want to try. You will be foolish if you say you don't want to try. Does it make sense? No, I'm not asking you. I'm asking her.
Why are you not being your head?
So you really want her to be baptized, right?
Okay.
Of course.
Oh God. Okay. Now, the boy's in your car. I see you this Sunday, 4 o'clock, in the YMCA. You'll be with her, right? All right? Now what's the third step? Step number 3 is at chapter 2, 36, all the way to 47. Where are we now? So after I was baptized, I have to start learning God's word. I need to be fed with the word of God so that I know who God is and what kind of blessing he's going to give it to me, and so that I can tell other people to receive the same kind of blessing. I don't want to be selfish. I want to get the blessing from the Lord and then share that blessing. Okay? Where are we now? We are in verse 40. Okay? With many other words, Peter warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. What this corrupt generation are doing. They say, wow, let me wait. Let me ask my mother. You know what? When you see a tall, dark, and handsome man, you just jump into it. You don't like asking your mother, wow, do what? Should I go with him or not go with him, you know? You have already made up your mind already. Go with that decision already. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. Okay? Verse 41. Josh?
Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 300 were added to their number that day.
At that time, is more than 3,000 people. Were there not 300? Do you say 300?
3,000.
You say 3,000?
Right.
Did you say 3,000? You say 300?
I'm just so shocked right now.
Oh, you're so shocked. You're so shocked. I'm shocked too, you know. 3,000 and 300 make a difference too, you know. Tenfold, you know. 1/10 of it. Okay, now keep going. Read that one more time, verse 41.
Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day.
Okay, verse 42. What happened after they were baptized? What did they do?
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled.
So I'm going to stop here first. What's the step number 3? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they start learning God's word. They want to be fed with spiritual milk. Devoted themselves to God's teaching right beside that. You write down 1 Peter chapter 2. First of all, chapter 1, verse 23, all the way to chapter 2, verse 3. In other words, chapter 1, verse 23 is you were born again through the living word of God. The word of God helped you regenerate you, so that you be born again, you be a Christian. And when you become a Christian, you be fed with God's word. Before you are fed with God's word, whatever in your mind that is filthy, that's no good, has to be deleted. Just like what is in the hard drive, all the old software, old stuff, delete it. And then you get a new thing, come in. Read that first. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. To 25, and then chapter 2 was 1 to 3. That's step number 3. Start learning God's word. In order for us to learn God's word, we have to dump the bad things. The bad habit, we have to delete it. Get rid of it. Okay? Read that first. 1 Peter 1:23.
For ye be born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. Through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation.
So in other words, right after you are baptized, right after you are born again, you need to be fed with the spiritual milk. That's the Word of God. When you are fed with the Word of God, when you are taught with the Word of God, all of a sudden, you absorb it, you understand it, you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And what did Peter say? We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do a Christian grow? By reading God's Word, attending Bible study, listen to the sermon, with 10 worship, and then you grow gradually. And finally, step number 4, we attend fellowship. Attend fellowship means we gather together, we met some Christian, we see how they get blessing from God. We want to get the same kind of blessing. We say, oh, how come God bless him? I ask him, what have you done? How come you get this kind of blessing? I want to have the same kind of blessing. Then you, through the fellowship, we learn from each other. And then we get a blessing. So I will devote more time on that in step number 4. Okay? So I want to stop here. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you be gracious to each and every one of us, so that we know what to do, because we don't just want to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to obey what we hear. We want to obey God's word through obedience. That obedience comes from faith, come from His word too. Once we obey His word, for sure we will see Him, we will get the blessing. I pray that once we get the blessing, help us not to be selfish and share our blessing that is from you with our friends, so that they come to know you too. And that's how we build your church and build your kingdom. As we build your kingdom, I pray that you build our household. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.